Welcome, everyone, to Yavamos Winter Wonderland. Hello, everyone, and I'd like to officially welcome you to Bein Hazmanim, and therefore officially welcome you to the Yavamos Winter Wonderland, which is not the program going on in Lakewood. It's this program you're listening to now. Although, if you're listening to this now, you've probably figured that out already. Today, we're going to start the 14th parak of Yavamos. Then tomorrow, we're going to finish the 14th parak of Yavamos, Amir Tashem. And next week, we're going to start the 13th parak of Yavamos, and it's going to be really exciting, but it's even really exciting right now. We're on Daf Kuf Yod Beis Amud Beis. I know it says Kuf Yod Gimel on the calendar. That's how the pages work out. That's what I decided to name it. Now, if you just turn to Kuf Yod Beis, you're probably shocked by the giantly long Mishnah with a whole bunch of names. It's actually not that complicated. I'm going to talk about the concepts that happen in the Mishnah. And basically, the way this whole two daf works is that if you learn them backwards, they make the most sense. Not because there's anything confusing about them, but just because of the way it's set up. The Mishnah is assuming you know a lot of things. So I'm going to tell you those things, but I also just want to say, again, welcome to the program. And Amir Tzashem, it should be really Behatzlacha. Every day, there's a Chazara raffle. So let's say if you're listening to this Wednesday, you review it once, and you hear the daf, or you learn the daf once your first time. Then you review it again that day. So you've done it a total of two times, one the first time and one Chazara, and then you're entered in a raffle for $10 cash. Nice and simple. Today we don't have any contests because I assume most of you will be traveling because everyone's leaving yeshiva right after the closer shmooze. With that having been said, this parak basically deals with a cheresh shelta v'katan, which we know is, you know, a deaf mute, an insane person, and a child, who obviously the halachas differ from everybody else's halachas in terms of marriage. So we know that they're halachically considered to not have da'as, and that means they can't make kinyanim or things like that. So on the surface, that should mean, if you think about it, that a cheresh shelta v'katan should not be able to get married. However, the rabbis instituted for a cheresh specifically, a deaf mute, Chazal instituted that there is such a thing as marriage, a rabbinic marriage for a cheresh. Not only that, there's also rabbinic yibum for a cheresh. There will not be chalitza, as we'll see, but there is rabbinic yibum. So there's rabbinic marriage, rabbinic yibum, which obviously means there's zika. And if you don't know what zika is, that's fine for now. Another thing that you should know that's going to be relevant to this is that a shota, although a shota does not have a legal marriage, even rabbinic, and a shota does not have rabbinic marriage. However, if somebody is married to a woman who's just a normal, healthy woman, and then she becomes a shota, she becomes insane in the middle of this, he's not able to give her a get. I'm not talking about the halacha lemaisa. I'm just saying that's what the Gemara says, the Mishnah says. He's not allowed to divorce her, even though, you know, now she's a shota. Obviously, you can understand maybe he wouldn't want to stay married, but the rabbis instituted a thing that even though she doesn't actually need da'as to accept the get, because that's the halacha, still we say that he cannot divorce her because we don't want her to go out in the street as a shota. People are going to take advantage of her, and therefore the rabbis instituted this new thing. That's all the introduction you need for the Mishnah. And now the Gemara, one other point, rabbinic marriage is not as quote-unquote serious as Torah marriage, obviously. Therefore, it's easier to create and easier to dissolve, as we're going to see now. The Mishnah begins, Cheresh shenasa bikachas. You have a cheresh who married a pikachas, which is a non-cheresh. So he's deaf, mute. She is just normal and healthy. Or vice versa. Pikeach shenasa chareshes. Or a normal, healthy person, can I narpu pupu, who married a deaf, mute. Imratza lahotzi, yotzi. If they then want to divorce, they can. Imratza lahakayim, and if they want to keep each other, okay, fine. Why? Kishem shehu kones biramiza, just as he can marry her with hinting, meaning that it's not real halachic marriage, it's not real kedushin, and even though the person is deaf-mute, they can use some very rudimentary sign language to the point where they understand that they're married, and even though halachically that is min haTorah, that has no validity, but rabbinically that counts enough as marriage. I also want to point out, we're not necessarily talking about deaf people today who can totally communicate. A lot of the poskim are going to say that the din is different nowadays. We're talking about back then, where there was no American Sign Language. There was no America. That's how far back it was in time. And so obviously there was no American Sign Language. but therefore they couldn't communicate. So this hinting thing, it's like very, very, very rudimentary sign language, but enough that the person can kind of figure out that they're married. That works midrabbanan to create the marriage. So similarly, ending that rabbinic marriage can also be done that way through this hinting. I know we're 5 minutes in and we just started, but let's see how we go from here. Two normal healthy people, v'nischarsha, and then she became a deaf mute. Imrotza yotzi, if he wants, he could get her, let her go, meaning give her a get. V'imrotza yakayim, and if he wants, he could keep her. He can give her a get because even though she has no das anymore, that's not needed, as we said, to receive a get. It's only, das is only needed to give a get, but to receive a get, no. Nishtatis lo yotzi. If she becomes a shota, however, she goes crazy, then he should not give her a get. That's just to protect her. That's a takana derabanan because we don't want her to be taken advantage of as a random shota walking the streets. Nischaresh hu. What if the man becomes a chayresh, anushtata, or becomes a shota? So now the man does not have das, so he can't give a get. Therefore, eino motzia olamis. He is unable to divorce her ever. He just doesn't have that ability because, as we said, he is doesn't have das. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri asks a question. The Gemara will deal with this. Mipnei ma ha'isha yotza. Why is it that the woman who goes crazy, becomes deaf, mute, she leaves, meaning she's allowed to get a get. Va'isha nischaresh ena motzi, but the man is not allowed to give a get. What's the difference? Amrulo, you look in Tosos to explain this further. Eno doma, Tosos later, a couple daf from now. They answered him, no, there is a difference. The reason that the man can give a get if he's healthy and she's not, but he cannot give a get if he is not healthy, is eino doma isha megaresh. The divorcer, the man, is not similar la'isha miskareshes, to divorcee, the woman receiving it. Why? She'isha yotza l'rtzona v'shelo l'rtzona. As we said, the woman can go out whether with her das or without her das. Ve'ish eino motzi elo l'rtzono. And the man can only leave with his own ratzon, meaning you need his ratzon, you need his das to give the get. So if the man loses the capacity to give one, there's nothing they can do. Okay. Hey, Rav Yochanan ben Gudgudah, Tosfos points out, they brought in Rav Yochanan ben Gudgudah to bring a support to what they're saying, that the woman is able to receive a get. Alach hareshes shehasiya aviyah, a deaf-mute girl whose father married her off. So he's the one who was makabel kedushin. So this kedushin is a real Torah marriage. Shehi yotza beget. Therefore, a get is needed and a get can be given to have her leave, even not to the father, it sounds like. You give a get to her. Why? But you see that the get is able to end a Torah marriage, even though she has no das. Amrulo, and they said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah, av zuki yotzeba. This is just like what we just said, that the woman without any das can receive a get. So all we saw here, bottom line, das is needed to give a get, das is not needed to receive a get, and if both people don't have das, then they still have a rabbinic marriage. That's what we saw. Fine. Moving on. Now we're going to deal with a couple cases that look like yevamos, but they're not really that much yevamos. They're basically just dealing with, as we said, they can have zika d'oraisa. So let's just imagine one case, just a simple case. Two brothers, okay, and one is cheresh and one's not. And the healthy one, the non-cheresh, who can have a d'oraisa marriage, he's married. Then he dies without any children. So we know yevamos, she should go to the cheresh. There should be a zika on the cheresh, and there really is a zika on the cheresh. That's step one. There's a zika d'oraisa or whatever zika means. But midoraisa, she should fall to him for yibam. We're gonna have to figure out what he does. But let's add in another problem. Let's say, as we said, she should fall to him to yibam midoraisa. But let's imagine that these two brothers are married to two sisters, just to make one case that's really simple. The cheresh is married to, let's just say, a normal healthy girl, but that marriage, as we said, is only rabbinic. And the non-cheresh is married d'oraisa. So now what happens? Now, if the healthy brother, dies without any children, the wife will go in yibum to the cheresh. That yibum is a connection mid'oraisa. So now he has his wife, his actual wife, who is married to midrabanan, and then he has this yevama who is yibum to midoraisa. So how do we deal with that? Normally, we say that, let's say, if they're two sisters. So normally, we'd say that we know it's an erva, right? So she goes out, it's irrelevant because it's achos isha. Yeah, But is it really Achosisha here? Is it the sister of his wife? Is she really his wife? She's only his wife, Midarabanan, and this lady is Midoraisa. So maybe not. Maybe the din is different. So let's look through the cases. We're going to see six cases. They're all look complicated, but they're not complicated. And I'm going to try to introduce each one with the inherent logic. We're going to see here now a case where all the marriages are rabbinic, or all the relevant marriages are rabbinic. And therefore, we're talking about a rabbinic zika when the woman falls to him in Yibam, and a rabbinic marriage to his current wife, and how those two interplay. So the Gemara says, Shnei Achin Charashin, two brothers who are deaf, Nisun Shtei Achayos Charashos, marries to two deaf sisters, or Lashtei Achayos Pichos, or to two sisters who aren't deaf. Either way, point is that since one party is deaf, all the marriages are rabbinic. O Lashtei Achayos, or to two sisters, Achas Charashos, Vachas Pikachas. One sister's a Charash, one's not. O Shtei Achayos Charashos, or if you have two girl Charashes, Nisu and Shtei Achin Pichin, married to two Pikeach brothers, two healthy brothers, O Lashnei Achin Charashin, or to two Charash brothers, O Lashnei Achin Echad Charash Echad Pikeach, or to two brothers, one being deaf and one not being deaf. Either way, all the marriages are rabbinic. For whoever, as long as one party in each marriage is deaf, that's all that we need to make everything rabbinic. So therefore, let's say now these are two sisters married, and one of the brothers dies. Since the marriage is rabbinic, and the zika coming from this lady is rabbinic, because they're not really married. She wasn't really married to her first husband. So when the first husband died, only midrabanan she goes to the second guy. So therefore, since he is married midrabanan anyway, so then it's achos isha, which undoes the zika. And therefore, everything is fine. No chalitza needed, no yibam needed. Even if this girl herself, the yavama, is healthy, it doesn't matter. Since her marriage is rabbinic and it got ended when the guy died and then the zika ended because of the other guy's marriage, so therefore, she can just go ahead and get remarried and it's fine. What if they're not sisters? Bimayu nachrios is the second problem. Now, just practically, how does Yibam Chalitza work if one of the people is deaf? So bimayu nachrios, if one of them, if they're not related, yichnosu, they should get married, meaning there should be Yibam. Why? Vimratsu lahotzi, and if they want to divorce, then afterwards, the yotziu, they should divorce, but with a get, not with Chalitza. The point here is that a cheresh is not able to do chalitza, and a chereshes is not allowed to receive chalitza. Why? Because as the Torah tells us, there are certain things, as we see on Daf Kufyud and stuff, it's going to come up actually in Beis Shammai, the next parak that we do, which is really the previous parak. But bottom line is that these people, stuff has to be said at a chalitza. A man has to say certain things, the woman has to say certain things, and even though in halacha, those things are not ma'akev, and they didn't say it would be fine. The Mefarshim point out, Rashi there, that that they have to be physically able to talk. So bottom line, since one of the parties can't talk, or both of the parties can't talk, chalitz is impossible. But since all these marriages are only rabbinic, you can just do yibum, and rabbinic yibum, marry the girl, and then just give her a get, and everything is fine. Okay, new case. This is going to be where one of the marriages is rabbinic and one of them is min haTorah, and how that works in Yibam. So, Shnei Achim, two brothers, Echad Cheresh veEchad Pikeach. One is a Cheresh and one is healthy. So, two brothers, one healthy, one not. Nisu uNoshtei Achayos Pikeach. They're both married to two healthy women. So now again, one marriage is Doraisa, one marriage is Derabanan. Meis Cheresh veEchad Pikeachas. If the Cheresh dies, so that was a rabbinic marriage. So now that rabbinic Yibam, she shoots over to the guy who's married to her sister. What does the Bikeach do? The one who's married to the healthy girl. So bottom line, he has a Doraisa marriage. So he has a Doraisa marriage, and this Derabanan Yibam of his wife's sister. So obviously, she goes out. She just leaves as Achosisha. The widow is free. No Chalitza needed, no Yibam needed. What about the other way? What if the Doraisa marriage ends and the Derabanan marriage is still going? If the healthy brother, he dies, and he's married to the healthy woman. So that's a doraisa marriage, meaning a doraisa zika to the cheresh. Mayas a cheresh baal pikachas. What does the cheresh baal pikachas do? Again, he has a derabanan marriage, and his wife's sister falls to him doraisa and yibam. What does he do? Motzi ishta beget. He has to give a get to his wife because he can't be with her because she's achos zikukaso. She is It's interesting, meaning even though the rule of achos lekukoso seems to only be an issur derabanan, the sister of the person you zika with, but the marriage itself is the oraisa. I mean, the yibum concept itself is the oraisa, as opposed to this guy's marriage to his current wife, which is only derabanan, and therefore he's not allowed to be with his own wife because she's the sister of someone who he's doraisa connected to. So she has to leave. So he gives her a get. And then Eishes Achiv Asura La'olam. He also cannot marry that woman. He can't marry that woman because she is also Achos Isha Midirabanan. So basically both of these women end up being sort of Achos Isha Midirabanan, his wife's sister Midirabanan. One, the first woman, the widow itself is Achos Isha Midirabanan, but she still doesn't leave because it's only rabbinic. So he can't do Yibum with her because she's the sister of his wife. And he can't do Chalitza with her because he can't do Chalitza. And his actual wife, the rabbinic wife, he can't be with her either because she's the sister of the person he has a Yibum connection with. So he's stuck and it's really sad. Veishas Mosi Ishta Baget, he gives his wife a get. Veishas Achiv and his brother's wife, Asura La'olam. She's Asura forever, there's nothing she can do. Okay. Shnei achin pikhin nishtun asun shtei achayos. This is a case of one doraisa marriage, one derabanan marriage, but both the men are healthy. So shnei achin pikhin nishtun shtei achayos, two healthy men married to two sisters, achas charesh, achas pikachas. One's a charesh and one is healthy. Meis bal pikeach bal achareshes. The one married to the charesh, he dies. So now this is a derabanan lady, and she derabanan falls to Yibam, to the other brother. What does the one in the deraisa marriage do? Nothing. The girl, the widow, she leaves because she's achosisha. She's an erva. She's the sister of the deraisa wife of the guy. What about the reverse case? The deraisa marriage ends. Deraisa guy dies. So now she has a deraisa marriage and a deraisa yibum to this guy who's married midirabanan to the chareshes. So what is she, who's her sister? So what does he do now? What does the healthy guy married to the chareshes do? Motzi yizishto beget. His wife leaves with a get because he can't be with her because she's the sister of someone he has a yibum connection with. However, veseishes achiv, and the wife of his brother, meaning the widow, she can have chalitza, the chalitza. She can't have yibum because she's the sister of his wife, even though they got divorced. Achos isha is even, as long as the girl is still alive, there's still an isser of achos isha. But that is the din. And therefore, she can get chalitza, she can get a get, everybody leaves him, but they can at least all get remarried to new people. Shnei achin echad cheresh v'echad pikeach. This is probably the neatest case. There's a healthy guy married to a healthy girl, deraisa marriage, a cheresh married to a chareshes derabanan marriage, and everyone's brother and sister. Shnei achin echad cheresh v'echad pikeach. Two brothers, one is cheresh, one's pikeach. Nisugun shtei achayos married to two sisters, achas chareshes, one is a chareshes, achas pikachas, one's pikachas. And again, as we said, the derabanan people are together, the deraisa people are together. Meis cheresh ba pikachas, ba chareshes, the derabanan marriage ended. The cheresh died. And he's married to the Charesha. So that's a totally derabanan marriage. She's going to derabanan yibum over to the first guy. What do you think the din is going to be? Let's find out. What does the pikeach married to the pikachas do? Again, doraisa marriage. What does he do? Nothing. The girl can just leave achosisha because after all, she's an erva. She's an erva. And the living guy, surviving guy, is married doraisa. So everything's fine. What about the other case where the doraisa marriage ends? The doraisa family dies. Meis bikeach bal pikachas. The bikeach married to the pikachas dies. Mayas a cheresh bal chereshes. What does the cheresh do? He has a rabbinic marriage and a doraisa yibum coming over to him. What does he do? That's right. Motzi yisur beget. He sends out his wife for the get. Veishas achiv asura la'olam. And the girl, the widow, she's forbidden forever. There's nothing he can do, as we said before. Because both of them are usher achos isha in a way that he can't really solve. And he can't do chalitza because a deaf person can't do chalitza. Shnei achin, echad cheresh v'echad pikeach. In this case, they're not sisters. I mean, yeah, the girls aren't sisters. So two brothers, one's cheresh, one's pikeach. Nesu and shtei nachros pikchos. They're married to two random ladies. Meis cheresh bal pikachas. The one who has a rabbinic marriage, he dies, the deaf guy. And she goes yibum derabanan to the surviving brother. Excuse me, what does the pikeach do? It's a good question. The answer is O cholitz o miyabim. Either does chalitza or he does yibam. No other solution. Those are the two solutions. Everything's fine, right? It's just a normal case of yibam. Meis pikeach bal pikachas. What if the doraisa healthy guy dies? So she goes in yibam doraisa to the cheresh who's married, but there is no other problem here. Mayas a cheresh bal pikachas. What does the cheresh do? Kones, he has to marry her. He has to do yibam. Veino motzi la'olam, and he can never divorce her. He can't do chalitza, as we said, chalitza is impossible. Okay, so he'll do yibam. He can do yibam, there's no problem, she's not related to him, but he can't give a get, because he's a cheresh. And this marriage is a marriage d'oraisa, l'chora, right? Because the yibam was d'oraisa, and he's just stepping on that and doing yibam. So therefore, it appears that he did a full yibam, and therefore he cannot divorce her, because the divorce that he can give would only be the Rabbanan. And that won't stop a Doraisa marriage. Okay, we can do this, guys. Two more cases. This next case is probably the most simple. Bottom line, a deaf woman cannot receive Chalitza. That's the only factor we need to deal with. Shnei Achin Pikchin, two healthy, normal brothers. Nesulun Shtei Menachios, married to two women who are not sisters. Echad Pikachas Vechad Chareshas, one is Pikeach and one is Cheresh. So one marriage is Doraisa, one marriage is the Rabbanan. Nobody's related to each other. Meis pikeach baal chareshes. The healthy one married to the cheresh dies. So now this woman, it falls derabanan in yibum to the healthy guy, but she can't get a chalitza. Mayasa pikeach baal pikachas. So what does he do? Kones, he marries her mida oraisa, meaning yibum. Vimratza lahotzi, and if he wants to get rid of her after, yotzi. He can't. He just has to give her a get. But he can't do a chalitza. He's healthy, but she can't receive a chalitza, so therefore he has to have a yibam and then a get. Meis pikeach bal pikachas. What if the doraisa healthy guy dies? Mayase pikeach bal chareshes. What is the other one who's rabbinically married to this deaf mute woman who's not related to him, but he is totally fine? O chalitz o miyabim. Therefore he can either do chalitza or yibam. He's healthy, she's healthy. There's nothing wrong. So therefore, that's it. Everything's fine. Nice and normal yibam. Shnei achin echad cheresh v'echad pikeach. Again, we're going to have one doraisa marriage, one derabanan marriage. So the cheresh is married to, let's see, nesulun shtei nechiros, married to two women who are not sisters. Echad chareshes v'echad pikachas. The cheresh is married to the chareshes. That's two people, derabanan marriage. V'echad pikachas. And the healthy guy is married to the healthy girl, doraisa marriage. So what happens? Meis cheresh baal chareshes. The deaf man married to the deaf woman. He dies. And every time I say deaf here, I mean deaf mute. I'm just being fast, relatively, given the amount of ground we're covering. Anyway, we're finishing a parak in 2 days, you know? So, like, if it takes me a little bit, like, okay, you know? But I still think we could do this on time. Anyway, what happens if that happens? So the derabanan marriage ends. She falls derabanan to the pikeach, but he can't do chalitza. So maya is the pikeach ba pikachas. What does the pikeach do with the pikachas here? What is the pikeach who's married to the pikachas? What does he do with this lady who's a chareshes? Well, we said, can he do chalitza? No, he can't. So there's no other solution. Kones, he has to do yibam, v'mratza lahotzi, and if he wants to then let her go, yotzi, he should. He just does that with the get. Meis pikeach bal pikachas. What if the doraisa family dies, and now she's a healthy woman who comes into oraisa yibam to the cheresh man? What does he do? Because he can't do chalitza. So Kones, he has to marry her, ve'eno motzi la'olam, and he can't let go of her. Chalitza wouldn't work, and since this is a doraisa marriage, and any get he gives would be derabanan, therefore not powerful enough to do the doraisa. So we learned a lot of details here, but in concept here, what we really learned is just that how the doraisa and derabanan rules interplay. So bottom line, we saw for now, because it's going to be relevant to the Gemara, that there is such a thing as rabbinic marriage, but it only applies by a cheresh and a pikeach, but not by a two pikchim, and not by a shota, and not by a katan. And now we're going to see we talked about a cheresh and a shota and a katan being three different categories. Now we're just going to see the halachas of these different categories and how they play on each other. This first gemara is literally just, why do we have a rabbinic marriage for a cheresh, but we don't for a shota? Here we go. Shota being an insane person. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Chama says, Ma'ishna cheresh v'chareshes. Why are the deaf people different? To takinu l'hurabanan nisuin, that the rabbis created marriage for them. Why did they do this? Considering, as Rashi says, Their kinyanim aren't kinyanim. They don't have das. So why do we create this new marriage, meaning that they have to do chalitza? Why did we, or that chalitza has to be done on them, whatever? Why would that be? However, maishna deshota, why shota v'shota, the insane people, delota kinu rabbanu nisuim, that by them, the rabbis never made such a thing as marriage. What's the difference between the deaf, mute, and an insane person? Again, back then. We'll learn more about that on Friday and Shabbos. Desanya, we have a braita. Shota v'katan shenasu nashim u'meisu. You have a shota and a katan. These are the non-cherishes. Shenasu nashim, they married women. Not really, you know, but they married women and they died. Nishosayan puturos minachalitza minayibum. They're quote-unquote wives. That's what Art Scroll says, quote-unquote. They need nothing. They don't need chalitza. They don't need yibum. They're not married at all. Why are we saying there is marriage for deaf mutes, but not for shota ukatan? Cheresh v'cheresh. Yes, the answer is very simple. That you just think about it. Reality. Someone who's a deaf mute, you can have a marriage with them. It's shayach. But with an insane person, it's not shayach to have a marriage with them, right? Because they, as we're, you know, someone's schizophrenia, it's not possible, as we're about to see. Cheresh v'chareshes, a deaf mute people, which dekaima takanta derabanan, where the rabbinic institution could actually stand, meaning let's say they made a marriage, that marriage could stay. It's totally possible to live well with a deaf mute. Everything's fine. Happens to be they can't make a kinyan, but you could have all the marriagey aspects of it, and that would be fine. Therefore, takino l'harabana nisuin. So the rabbis instituted, they created nisuin for them. Shota v'shota. However, an insane person, right, delo kaima takanta derabana, where there, the rabbinic marriage would not stand. De'ein adam dar im nachash. Nobody would live with a snake, b'chfifa achas, in one basket. Meaning, you can't live in a life with someone who is the halachic definition of a shota. They go around ripping their clothing and throwing stuff away and sleeping in the graveyards. Not shayach to have a marriage with people like that. Therefore, lo takinu rabbanu nisuin. The rabbis did not make a marriage for them because it wouldn't mean anything. It's going to be over in a week. Okay, now that's that. However, we see that that's great for an insane person. But we just saw from this braisa just now that even a katan, their marriage isn't a marriage. Why not? A katan is pleasant, or one could live with a katan. Why maishna katan? What's the difference between a katan boy, delo takinu rabbanu nisuin, that he does not have any form of marriage? V'cheresh, and a deaf mute, takinu rabbanu nisuin, the rabbis would create marriage for them. They're both pleasant to deal with, so why is it that there's no marriage for a katan boy if he tried? Again, we're not asking that there should be a mitzvah for them to get married or anything. We're just saying, let's say the person walked up, a katan, a 12 and a half year old, says, Areya Makadesh asleep at the bad zo, and he tried to be married. And we're saying that has no validity to the point where if he dies, the woman can just go free. She doesn't need even chalitza. Why? The answer is, Cheresh delo asil chal nesuin. A cheresh is never going to be someone who can be married to Areza. Therefore, takinu rabbanu nesuin. Therefore, we created a marriage for them so they can have a family. Or as Rashi sounds like he's saying, katan. However, a katan da asli l'chal nesuin, the minor boy would just tell him, wait 6 months. That's what the freezer's for. Lo takinu rabbanu nesuin. Therefore, for him, the rabbis didn't make a nesuin. Meaning, yes, it's true, he's pleasant to live with, but he can get married in like 2 days. So let's just wait. But by the cheresh, where he's going to live his whole life without ever being able to be married, we have to create an institution for them. Okay, well, vare katana, but we see by a katana girl, where there is rabbinic marriage, and she clearly is going to eventually be marriageable. De asil chal nesuin, she's going to reach the stage of marriage. And still, v'takinu rabbanu nesuin, the rabbis did create a rabbinic marriage for her. What's rabbinic marriage of a katana? When her father dies, her mother or brother can marry her off while she's a child. And when she gets a little older, she has the ability to dissolve the marriage. That's called miyun. That's something we're going to learn about in the next slash previous paragraph. But bottom line, we just said that anyone who's pleasant to live with, but even though someone's pleasant to live with, but if they could eventually get married, we will not create marriage for them. And yet we see by this katana that they did create marriage for her. Why? Awesome. That's because shel yinhagu ba minhag hefker. That's because we don't want this girl wandering around, an orphan girl, remaining unmarried, because then it could be that strangers will take advantage of her. And therefore, to protect her, we created this thing. But we don't have that concern by a 12-year-old boy. Okay? So now we understand, bottom line, why there's no marriage for a cheresh, because they're not pleasant to deal with. And they, I'm sorry, why there's no marriage for a shota, because they can't live in a real marriage. why there's no marriage for a katan boy, because he's eventually going to get married anyway, and why there is marriage for a katan girl, even though he's going to get married anyway, that's to protect her. But there's a difference between the rabbinic marriage of a katana and the rabbinic marriage of a cheresh. That is, the rabbinic marriage of a katana, as we said, she can do miyun. She can undo the whole marriage, just dissolve everything and walk away. But by the cheresh, we don't have such an option. Why don't we have such an option for the cheresh? So the Gemara asks, Maishna katana de mimana, why is it that a katana can do miyun? Umaishna chareshes de lo mimana. And yet a chareshes, a deaf-mute female, she's not able to undo her marriage. The Gemara answers, Dim Cain, if so, if the deaf-mute female had the ability to walk out whenever she wants, mimnei velo nesvila, people would hold back. People would not marry her. People would refuse, be deterred, whatever the word is, and not want to marry her. As opposed to the katana, whereas we know there's a nice clear cutoff point, she is going to be a different story. I mean, we know that the katana, once she, you know, he can get past the stage where she could do miyun, and then she'll just stay with him. But the chareshes, she'd be able to do miyun at like 60. You know, one day he leaves the toilet seat up, and she's just like, all right. You know, so like that's obviously not a system people would want to marry into. Fine. Maishna, new question. We know that a katana, a rabbinic marriage, she has the ability to eat at least rabbinic truma. But a chareshes is not allowed to. So here we go. Maishna katana da'acha b'truma. Why is it that a katana girl who's married off in this rabbinic way, right? We're not talking about the raisa marriage by the father while she's a katana. We're saying she's an orphan, orphaness, I don't know, Baruch Hashem, and, excuse me, and her mother, father, her brother and mother, or mother, marry her off rabbinically. So that girl, what's her story? Why can she eat truma, rabbinic truma? Why can a deaf-mute girl not eat truma? A deaf-mute woman. It's not because we have a Mishnah that's going to show us that this is true. Hey, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada. We saw Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada. He says, Allah chareshes she'asiya avia, a chareshes woman whose father married her off. So this is a real daraisa marriage. She yotza baget, that she leaves with a get, meaning that, yeah, she can have a get even after the father dies. V'ala katana, he also testified about a katana bas Yisrael, a young Israelite girl who gets married. Shenisus l'kohen, she married a kohen. Shelchelos b'truma, that she can eat truma. So you see that this katana girl is eating truma, and we know it's not a case where her father married her off, because in the previous case he specified that he did marry her off. So obviously in this case where it didn't specify, we're saying he didn't marry her off. And so what do we see? That the katana lady in this case, she's allowed to eat truma. But it seems like a deaf mute, she cannot eat truma, because he didn't say anything about truma by deaf mutes. So we see, again, it's just a proof that a katana can eat truma even though when she's rabbinically married, but a rabbinically married chareshes cannot. What's the difference? To answer this, I just want to go over some points here. The reason that a really rabbinic truma should be okay for everybody to eat here, because even though the marriage is only rabbinic, Lamaisa, he's a Kohen, he could eat, and therefore she's married to him, so Midurabanan, so she can eat rabbinic truma, no problem. However, she cannot eat Doraisa truma, right, Torah truma, because they're not really married Minotorah. So that's fine. Truma also happens to have a death penalty if a non-Kohen eats it, so that's a really big deal. That's obviously something we're concerned about. But now we're just trying to deal with, why would it be that we said a chareshes cannot eat truma? And we're going to see it's a gezerah. At the end of the story, the gezerah is going to be that we, when the dust settles, right, people like to say, but the story is going to be that we're worried about a case where the man is a cheresh, he's a kohen cheresh, and so he can't get married to a raisa. And then he marries a normal, healthy woman, and she cannot eat truma d'oraisa, obviously, because they're not married d'oraisa. Really, she should be allowed to eat truma d'rabbanan, because they're married d'rabbanan. But we're scared as a get there against truma d'oraisa, and therefore we don't even let her eat truma. So all of this, that's the only case we're actually worried about. However, as is going to be tomorrow's sugya, we know there's a rule that by a chere shot v'katan, if they want to eat something that they're not allowed to eat, we don't have to stop them, generally speaking. So really, the cheresh man is allowed to eat truma d'oraisa. Anyway, that's fine, because he's a kohen. The cheresh woman, whoever, if she's married to a kohen, she could still eat truma d'oraisa, because we don't stop her, right? Because she's allowed to eat non-kosher food because she's not chayav in mitzvahs. But the only thing we're actually concerned about is a healthy woman marrying a cheresh man, which means the marriage is only derabanan, therefore she can't eat truma daraisa, and she's chayav in mitzvahs. So that's it. But the Gemara is going to work through some steps. So again, our question was, why is it that a katana married to a kohen could eat truma daraisa, and a chereshes married to a kohen cannot? And the Gemara answer is at first, gezeira shemiyachol cheresh b'chereshes. We're worried about a cheresh man marrying a cheresh woman, their abanan marriage, and giving her d'oraisa truma, which she can't eat. The Gemara asks, b'lecho, let her eat, who cares? Katan ochel nevelosu. This is a case of a katan eating nevela, meaning someone who's not chayav in mitzvahs, they're allowed to eat whatever they want. We don't have to stop them. We're not allowed to feed them, but we don't have to stop them. Again, that's going to be tomorrow's entire sugi, just working through that, pretty much. So what's the problem? So let her eat. It's fine. Even doraisa truma. Gemara says, no, that's true. Really, it's a different gzera. Gzera Hashem miyachol cheresh v'pikachas. We're really worried about a cheresh man marrying a healthy woman, feeding her doraisa truma, as we said, which he's not allowed to do. Gemara says, v'cheresh v'pikachas nami. So what? Great. Healthy woman, non-healthy man. Go ahead. Still, leicho b'truma derabanan. Let her eat rabbinic truma. They're married mid the Rabbanan, so go for it. Let her eat rabbinic truma. Why is that not allowed even? The answer is no. Gzeira dilma ase la'ochla b'truma d'oraisa. It's a protection because we're worried that this woman will eventually eat d'oraisa truma, which obviously bears the death penalty, and she's not allowed to eat. And therefore, that's the protection. Therefore, we say all chereshes can just not eat truma, just to protect that case. Okay, new rule. Difference between a katana chereshes. We know that a katana, she has a ksuva, meaning that if someone divorces a katana of that rabbinic marriage where her father died and the mother brother married her off, she could do miyun, someone divorced that, he would have to give her a ksuva. But if someone divorced a chereshes, a deaf mute woman, he does not have to give her a ksuva. Maishna katana is like ksuva. Why is it that a katana has a ksuva? Maishna chereshes, why is a deaf mute woman different? The leisla ksuva, she does not have ksuva. Because we want her to get married. Dim kain, because if not, if so, if we gave her a ksuva, miman e velo nasvila, people would hold back. People wouldn't want to marry her because anyway, you know, she's obviously not a tier one shidduch, and they're a division one shidduch. Sorry, and therefore, the people are going to be scared to marry her in the first place. So this is sort of a way to help, you know, that help her get married. Is we say, okay, you know, and if he gives a get, he doesn't have to pay her any money. Fine. Now, how do we know a katana has a ksuva? This rabbinic katana girl in this story, how do we know she has a ksuva? The Gemara says, "Titnan, we have a Mishnah. Both a woman who does mion and a shnia who wasn't really allowed to marry the guy in the first place. Va'ailonis and an ailonis is a mekach taos. All these cases, ain lahan ksuva. These people don't have a ksuva." Because they're not, A, they were never married, or B, they were forbidden to be married in the first place. Aval yotz a baget, ukatana, but a woman who gets a get, and yet she's a katana, meaning a katana that a man gives a get, like we were saying in that case, yesh lo ksuva, she has a ksuva. So we see clearly that she has a ksuva. How do we know a chereshes does not have a ksuva, which is the other part of our question? The chereshes mina andalis a ksuva. How do we know a chereshes doesn't have a ksuva? The sanya, we have a breita. Cheresh v'shota shenasu pekhos. You have a cheresh man and a shota, but they married a healthy woman. Even if the cheresh then got better, and now he's healthy. And so again, she married this deaf guy, that was only rabbinic, and there was no ksuva, it sounds like. But now he got better. V'nishtava ashota, and they healed. In lehen aleyen kulot. Since they never had a ksuva in the first place, so now when they get healthy and better, that doesn't magically create a new ksuva, so therefore there's no ksuva. Rotzu l'kaiman, if now at that point the men decide that they want to stay with these women, and now they acquire them into oraisa, because now these men are healthy and they can make kinyanim, so they acquire them into oraisa after the next bia. Now they're remarried and they're just normally married. So yesh lehem ksuva mana, they have a mana of a ksuva, meaning not the full 200 zuz that we normally give a basula. A little bit less, but they have something. What about the vice versa case? A healthy man marries a chareshes and she heals. Pikeach, sorry, she doesn't heal. Pikeach shenasa chareshes. Pikeach man marries a chareshes deaf woman or shota. A few kasav lamea mana. Even if he wrote a whole bunch of money, which he didn't have to do because she didn't need a ksuva. Ksuva sakayemis. The ksuva is valid lamaisa. And if he divorces her, he has to give her one. Why? He wanted to damage his own money. Meaning we wouldn't have made him do this, but he did it. It's his own problem. So shkoya. Okay. Time of the rotza. You see from this that the whole reason is that he wanted to. Meaning that the clear from the language that we're saying we never would have forced him to write a ksuva, but now that he did, okay, he has to pay. So clearly then, hello rotza, if he didn't want to give her a ksuva, there's no ksuva. So we see bottom line. That there's no ksuva, and why is there no ksuva? Dim kain, because if there were a ksuva, if the Rabbanan instituted that anytime someone marries a deaf mute woman, he has to give her a ksuva if he divorces her, people will hold back and not marry her. Now the Gemara asks the kasha. We should say the same thing vice versa. We should say that when a healthy woman marries a cheresh man who's not a Division I shidduch, litakin lo ksuva. He should have to give her a ksuva, even though he has no das or kinyanim, but the rabbi should create some sort of a ksuva. That way, if he ends up leaving her, if she ends up leaving him, she gets money, which will encourage her to marry him. Dim kain, because if you say there's no ksuva, mimane v'lo menas, but she's going to hold back from marrying him. Meaning, why don't we help the guys? Why don't we only help the women? Answer is, yoser mishe isha tzalisa, more than a man wants to get married, isha rotzalinase. The woman wants to get married even more than that. So bottom line, even though there's no ksuva coming from this cheresh, the woman might still marry him. But by the other case, we wouldn't say that. We wouldn't say that a man will get married anyway. Fine. Now we have a story. It's a nice, interesting story. How cheresh? About this idea of sometimes making a ksuva from a cheresh even so. How cheresh? There was a deaf mute. Dava b'shvu seder of Malchiel. He lived in Rav Malchiel's neighborhood. Rav Malkio married him off to a woman. V'chasavla, and Rav Malkio wrote on his behalf, Arba mea zuze minichse, he wrote 400 zuz ksuva, which is a huge ksuva, from the property of the cheresh, without the guy's knowledge, obviously, because he has no das. And he did it anyway. Amar Rava, Rava said, Man chakim krav Malkio. Who is as wise as Rav Malkio? Meaning he's really smart. Why? Degavar Rabu, who is a great man, kasavar, he thought, let's say the man wanted a shifcha, wanted to acquire a maidservant to, you know, clean his house. Milos of Ninanle, would we not buy one for him with his own funds? Because we know, even though he has no das, we understand this is something clearly that he wants, and we would do that. So similarly, all the more so here, de katarte, where there's a double benefit. He has someone sort of cleaning his house, and he's married. You know, the bottom line is, you know, the same way that the financial normal grocery store kinyanim we would do for this guy, even though he has no das, and we would use his money because we understand what he wants. So to here, we can do that to get him married. Okay, Amar Chia Bar Ashi Amar Shmuel. This shaila is basically going to have to do with trying to prove whether the marriage, this rabbinic marriage that we're talking about, is there any derisive validity to it at all? Do we say that maybe there's a chance this guy has das and it's actually a suffix derisive marriage and then the rabbi is slapped on a derabanan too? Or do we say that no, he has no das, we never thought he has das, this is vadai not a marriage derisa, and yet the rabbis anyway instituted a marriage for him? That's the shiloh. So one of the ways to tell whether something is a suffix derisa or not is whether one brings an usham tolei for violating it. That's a special type of korban one brings for violating certain suffix isurim, such as a suffix ashes ish. So if one cohabits with the wife of a suffix marriage case, he brings an usham tolei. So here we go. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Shmuel Rav Chiya Barashi said in the name of Shmuel, ashes cheresh, the wife of the cheresh, meaning this rabbinic marriage, if somebody cohabits with her, which he shouldn't have done, but he does not bring an Ashim Tolu. So you see, it seems, that this is not a suffix. It's a vadai. Cheresh has no das, because if there were a question, then the person should bring an Ashim Tolu, because this is a suffix daraisa. You see that it's not a suffix daraisa. So that's what Shmuel holds. So Shmuel, bottom line, just held definitely that the marriage of a cheresh is nothing midoraisa at all. The Gemara wants to prove this from another Mishnah. Lema Misayele. Maybe shall we say the following Mishnah proves his point? Here we go. Chamisha lo yitromo. There are five people who are not supposed to separate truma, and if they do, avim tarmu. If they do separate it, ain truma san truma. Their truma is invalid. Deilahin. Here are the five people. Chereshot akatan, deaf mute, an insane person, and a katan. Those are three of them. Batora mishaino shalo. Someone taking truma from not his property, meaning from someone else's property. Vovid kochavim shataram shal yisro, or a goy taking from a Jewish person's stuff. Even if the Jew approves of it, either way, ain truma so truma. This truma is not valid. So bottom line, all these people are just excluded from the Torah, not shayach, right? They cannot do truma separation. Okay, and so what do we see then? We see that his truma is totally not a truma. Because if it were a suffix truma, then we would say that the person, he's truma still has to be taken from that property, but this thing that he took has the kedusha of truma out of suffik, meaning because he took it, right? So if he took it and it really is truma, then it's truma. If it's not truma, then okay, fine, but it might be truma. So the fact that you don't have to treat this with the kedusha of truma and anyone who wants can just eat it proves that vaday, we assume this guy has no das. That's the proof. Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe this Mishnah does not hold that it's impossible. Maybe the Mishnah holds that the Cheresh really is suffik. And still, but there's a, yeah, as we're about to see. Sorry, the Mishnah clearly holds that it's not a suffik. Maybe when Shmuel said that there's no Ashem Tali, but even so, maybe it's, even though it is a suffik, maybe there's still no Ashem Tali. Oh, so then how's he gonna, we're going to explain that in a minute. But how does he deal with the fact that this Mishnah about the Truma, meaning we're going to tell me that Shmuel is holding like this Mishnah, and that's how he knows that it's not a suffix. Maybe not. Maybe Shmuel doesn't hold like this Mishnah about Truma. Who am I, Rabbi Elazar? Maybe he holds like Rabbi Elazar there. The Tanya Rabbi Elazar says in a Braita, Truma Scheres, the Truma of a deaf mute, lo totze l'chulin, it should not go out to Chulin. Mipnesha hu suffix, we treat it as a suffix. So Shmuel maybe actually does hold that a Cheres is a suffix. Oh, so then wait a minute. If he holds a Rabbi Elazar, Ashem Tolei Nami L'chayev, he should also be chayev to bring in Ashem Tolei, as we just said, because we're saying that it's a suffix. So someone cohabited with his wife, that's a suffix, Eishes Ish, he should bring in Ashem Tolei. The Gemara says, no. But the reason, this is a technical thing. I said that all suffixes automatically are just Ashem Tolei. Maybe not. It could be only certain types of suffixes, which, for example, where you have the Isser there, and we're just not sure if you ate the thing that was Usser, did the thing that was Usser, or a different thing. Let's say you have a piece of Chelev, which is forbidden, and a piece of something Mutter on the table, and you ate one of them, and you don't know which one you ate. That for sure brings an Ashem Tolei. But what about a case where there's only one object, and you don't know what it is? So that's a different type of a Suffolk. So we don't know what it is. That's still a different type of a Suffolk, because we're not saying the Isser's here, and you did one of the two and don't know which one. We're saying this thing itself, we don't know whether it's us or in the first place. So there are opinions out there that you don't bring in Ashem Tolei for that kind of a case. And that's what we're saying here. Be'inan chasicha mishtei chasichos. That no, Shmuel requires maybe that to bring in Ashem Tolei, it has to be a case of a definite Isser. And we're just trying to decide which of the definite Issers, which of the pieces is a definite Isser. So going back to Shmuel's original statement now, Shmuel had said that this guy doesn't bring an Ashem Tolei. We thought it was telling me that it's a vadai, not a marriage. Maybe that's not what it's telling me. Maybe it's telling me something completely different. Maybe it's telling me that he holds that an Ashem Tolei, it's only brought when there's a definite piece of Isser in front of you and you're not sure whether you ate that. But not this case where there's one marriage and we just don't know what would be, whether it's a marriage or not. So that's what Shmuel is saying. The Gemara says, though, I have another problem. Because if you're going to tell me that Shmuel holds like Rav Elazar in the Mishnah, and that the Ashem Tolei can only be brought in this one scenario, but Rav Elazar himself doesn't hold that. Umi ba'i Rav Elazar chasicha mishtei chasichos. Does Rav Elazar hold? You need one piece out of two pieces? Parentheses? No. But Tanya, we have a braisa. Rav Elazar says, koi, you have a koi, which is a Suffolk type of animal. We don't know if it's a chaya or a behemoth. And therefore, the chaylev, let's say the fat of a koi, is a Suffolk, because I don't know whether it's chaya fat, which is mutter, or behemoth fat, which is usser. So therefore, it's a Suffolk. So the fat of this koi is one thing in front of you, and you don't know whether it's mutter or usser, which we said people argue whether you bring an Hashem Tali. Rabbi Elazar says, koi chayav al chava Hashem Tali, that you are chayav in Hashem Tali on the chaylev of a koi. So you see the Rabbi Elazar holds, yes, even on one thing where I don't know the status, you do bring an Hashem Tali. So you can't tell me he holds like Rabbi Elazar in terms of the suffix by this, that the suffix of a deaf mute is considered a is actually considered a suffix, the fact that he's a deaf mute. He can't say that because Rav Elazar himself would hold in that case that he would bring an Hashem Tali. So Gemara says no. Shmuel Savar Rav Elazar b'chada, Pala Goy b'chada. Maybe Shmuel holds like one piece of Rav Elazar in one place and the other and disagrees with the other one. I mean, he agrees in the case of Truma, the point being that it is considered a suffix, the Cheresh, a deaf mute. He is considered a suffix. However, he disagrees with Rav Elazar, and he holds that you could bring an Hashem Tali, you do bring an Hashem Tali only if there's one is in front of you and I don't know which it is. Now, that's one version of this whole story. It really wasn't that complicated. Shmuel made a statement. We wanted to say it's based on a suffix. We brought a Mishnah to prove it. Then we said, no, maybe he holds like the other opinion, and he has a special rule in Hashem Tali, and he's only picking and choosing opinions. Now, we're going to say the same thing backwards. Yigad Amri, there's another version of this. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Shmuel, Rav Chiya Barashi said in the name of Shmuel, Eishes Cheresh Chayavin Alei Hashem Tali. That actually, in Eishes Cheresh, the wife of Cheresh of a rabbinic marriage, you, yes, do bring in Hashem Tali. The Gemara says, Meisvei, I'll challenge that from a Mishnah. Chamisha Yitromo, ... These people who can't bring Truma, and what did we see at the end of that? That when a Cheresh brings Truma, it has no Kedusha, meaning it's a Vaday nothing. And if it's a Vaday nothing, then one would not bring in Hashem Tali for cohabiting with his wife. So you see Akasha against Shmuel. Gemara says no. Shmuel holds a Rav Elazar, who said that the guy is a Safek, and that's why you do bring an Hashem Tali. Okay, new question about Rav Elazar. We know it's a very interesting question. Rav Elazar said it's a Safek. What was the Safek? Right? A Safek means I'm not sure. When I'm not sure about something. This is the you can tell the mind of an Amora, is different than sometimes the way we work. And a Tana, obviously, that Chazal tell us when they're not sure about something, it doesn't just mean like, oh man, I don't know, I'm not sure. Should I get bagels or pizza? I'm not sure. That's one kind of I'm not sure. But the I'm not sure of someone like this, it means I'm sure about different options and I don't know which one's correct, as you're about to see. My time of the Rav Elazar. What is his reasoning? Mipshat, do we say basically the question's like this. Do we say that the actual constant mental state of a Cheresh is in itself a Safek, whether it's powerful enough to have Das or not? And therefore, that's his question. Or do we say that no, he doesn't have one fixed mental state. Sometimes he's more coherent, sometimes he's less coherent, and we're not sure anytime he does an action, whether he's being coherent or not. So shtickle Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. But, so what's the deal? So do we say mipshat pshitalei that he's sure the cheresh data klishtu, that a cheresh has a weak mind? Umiyo and his question is, tzilusa, is that weak mind? Is it clear? Tzilusa, or is it not clear? I mean, does he have the ability to have intent and do things, or does he not? And that I don't know. But it's one capacity the whole time. So he consistently either can make kinyanim or can't. And I don't know how, that he has the ability to make it or not, and I'm not sure. Or maybe pshitale. Maybe sure the other way. Didata klishta. His mind is weak. V'lav data tzilusu. And it's not clear. V'acha taima. The shaila is not how strong he is. It's kaven de itim cholam ve itim shoda. Sometimes he's healthy, sometimes he's not healthy. Meaning, again, how weak is his mind? It really depends on the situation. And so we're not clear how strong he is, but there are two ways to ask it again. One is that maybe always He has the ability to form intent, and we're not sure how strong he is. Or sometimes he can do it, sometimes he can't, and we don't know where he's holding. Gemara asks, "Lamai nafkamina? Come on, what's the practical difference here?" Gemara answers, "Hotzi ishta beget." The question is, can he give a get? Meaning, the first line in our parak that we saw all the way at the beginning of today was that a cheresh can create a rabbinic marriage and he can dissolve a rabbinic marriage. That's according to the Rabbanan, who say that the cheresh never has any power d'oraisa. But according to Elazar, it depends. There's a chance that he actually does have the ability to accomplish a d'oraisa kinyan. So if he does, then if you think about it, we're really in trouble. Let's say the second option. Let's say sometimes he's healthy, sometimes he's not. So now I actually, if he gets married, there's a suffix d'oraisa about whether factually he got married or not. Now, he can't give a get, because if he tries to give a get, he might not be healthy now. And so now he might be only able to give a rabbinic get, and a rabbinic get can't dissolve a d'oraisa marriage, so he's kind of stuck. So what do we do? All right, so he can't give a get. But if you say that he's always at the same state and the question is just the strength of the state, then whatever number that state is, let's say he's always at 44%, and I don't know whether 44% is enough. Okay, but whatever 44% can do, 44% can destroy. So he can make a rabbinic marriage or a marriage, whatever marriage he's making, he's strong enough to destroy. But if you say sometimes he's 22, sometimes he's 68, sometimes he's 41, then he can't necessarily undo a marriage that he created. Another option, I just realized that the Gemara says this. If you say that he's at one level, then kikidushin koch gerishin, as is kidushin, so is gerishin. He has the same ability either way. But if you say sometimes he's strong and sometimes he's not, kidushe matzi mekadesh, then theoretically he can create a kidushin, gerushin ola matzi megarish. However, he cannot divorce, as we just said. Gemara asks Mai, so Mai, so what's the answer? Teku. But unresolved, let's wait for Eliyahu Hanavi, Tishbi, to come with Mashiach ben David and give us the answer. Chazak u'baruch, guys. I just want to let you know that the future recordings will probably be a little bit shorter because I don't start with like an 8-minute introduction and a super, super long Mishnah.